It's so good to be home. Yeah, I really feel like I've gotten the true initiation back to America because I did get and recovered from COVID. So one of us. So I do have the privilege of sharing about the ministry that I've been able to be a part of for the past several years. I've been a part of Youth with a Mission, or YWAM, since 2015 in Australia and Papua New Guinea. That's them. But I was actually sitting like right over there, like Shia, watch out. I think that was the seat I was sitting in when Jared came and shared about this like big medical ship that was going off to Papua New Guinea and sharing about this discipleship training school or DTS. And he invited me to be a part of it and extended an invitation, but it felt so personal. It felt like he was inviting me to spend 5 months of diving deep into my relationship with God and going on outreach to Papua New Guinea and being able to serve on this medical ship into these rural and remote places of Papua New Guinea. And yeah, it felt so personal to me. And I had a heart for missions. I was just about to finish college. I was graduating from an education school to be a teacher. So I figured it was a really good way to start off my post-collegiate life was to spend those 5 months really focusing on my relationship with God and serving God by serving people. And I thought it would be cool, and it so was, but little did I know that God was going to use that course to call me into a life of full-time missions with YWAM and longer term. And so, I've been a full-time volunteer now for 5 years. Kind of crazy how fast it goes by. And in that time, God has continued to walk really closely with me to show me his faithfulness, to like put me in path, like the pathway of like really cool people. And I've been able to be transformed by seeing God through them. And he's continuously challenging me to dream with him about what it looks like when he called us to make disciples of all nations. Like, when you really think about that, like that was his, you know, the Great Commission was go therefore make disciples of all nations. What does it mean to make disciple of a nation, like disciples of nations? What does it mean to make individuals in a nation a disciple? And I just think that's really cool. He also asked us to pray about like for his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I don't know about you guys, but whenever God tells me to pray for something, a lot of times he's also calling me to be a part of the solution. So what does it look like for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven? Like, that's so cool. And it's one of my absolute favorite things to dream about with God. Like, what would need to change in order for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven? Like, for earth to look a little bit more like heaven. What would need to happen? What would need to be done? When the Bible talks about the kingdom of heaven, it's really talking about like a place where God rules and reigns, right? So like when the White House says like, or the news says like, there's a statement from the White House. The White House itself isn't actually like talking. It's the president, right? Who's in the White House. And that's kind of the same when the Bible talks about the kingdom of heaven. Like, it's not actually like heaven, the place. It's like God, because he is the ruler of heaven, right? And it's like his kingdom come to earth, right? What would it look like to minimize the wrongs and injustices in our broken world, to maximize the church's ability to love others and to help them to find life and life to the full? What would it look like for Australia and Papua New Guinea and America and Malawi and Colombia, wherever the Operation Christmas Child boxes went? Like, what would it look like for them to look more like the kingdom of heaven and look more like what it would look like if God was the king there, and what he originally planned when he originally made the earth? Like, there would be love and joy and peace and health and life, right? And what would an education system look like in a place where it was the kingdom of heaven was the ruler? What would the education system look like? What would a government look like if it was ruled in the kingdom of heaven? What would media look like? What would radio look like? What would business? There certainly wouldn't be corruption and all of these things, right? Like, what would families look like? What's the role of the family? What's the role of the church in the kingdom of heaven? So I do have a few little pieces of trivia for you. You know, because for when you're like sitting around the table on Friday night and you're like, you've run out of things to talk about, here's some conversation pieces for you, some little Bible trivia. It's a little hard to see, isn't it? Sorry about that. But so in the Bible, the very first place that it talks about ruling and reigning is actually in Genesis 1. In Genesis 1:28, when God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, to rule and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves. That's the first place that it really talks about, like, earth being a kingdom, like, ruling and reigning. And it was him giving authority to Adam and Eve. That's pretty cool. And the first time that it talks in the Bible about God being a king is in Exodus 15. After Moses and the Israelites, they escaped slavery. They miraculously escaped Egypt, crossed over the Red Sea. It was an amazing thing. And they got to the other side, and they started praising God and singing songs. And at the end of that song, it says, the Lord reigns forever and ever. That's the first place that it talks about God being a king, about the kingdom of God. And that's really the story of the kingdom of God on earth. It's the story of, like, God taking back his world from us and what we've done to the place. And so that's pretty cool that we get to be a part of that. And this actually reminds me, I think that everybody's here actually, but at Districts, which is a conference we took a bunch of the youth to a few weeks ago, this idea came up in our small group, right? So Kenzie and Christy and Brooke and Cassie, we were in a small group together, and we all, like, really like art, right? So we kind of had this idea of the kingdom of God being kind of like a painting. The kingdom of God is kind of like a painting. So God spent time creating the earth. He painted the sky. He painted the waters. He made the animals and the people, and he made this beautiful painting, and he was like, it is good, right? That's the creation story, is him creating all this stuff, and it is good. And then he gave it to us and was like, here you go. And sure enough, we stuffed it up. We spilled the paint water. That's what I always think of when I think of messing up my painting. Like, oh, it's good, and then I tip over the water and it goes everywhere. Or we splattered paint in the places that there weren't supposed to be paint. This is sin in the world. Like, we messed it up. And God being, like, the gracious person that he is, this gracious God that he is, so and patient, he's working with us to fix the painting. It may not look exactly like the original painting, but he wants to make the painting a little bit more like the original plan. He wants to make beautiful things out of the paint splatters. He's also, like, creating this other painting. He's preparing a place for us that's going to be without blemish, but he's not quite ready to abandon the original masterpiece yet, and those of us in it. So it's pretty cool. But Jesus also talks about the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 4. So this is after Jesus was tested in the wilderness, and he'd heard that John had been put in prison as well. And in verse 17, this is after he just found out about John being in prison and just coming out of the wilderness. He's like, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom has come near. Then he begins to call his first disciples, his first followers. He calls Simon Peter and Andrew, James, and John. And then in verse 23, it explains that what Jesus was doing to bring the kingdom of God. In verse 23, it says that Jesus throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Jesus was bringing the kingdom by teaching, preaching, and healing. And I think that's really cool, because this is Jesus modeling this for us, right? Like, I think it's something that we're all called to do in some capacity, is teaching others and discipling others and proclaiming the good news and bringing healing. Like, it might not be physical healing, but how are we, like, helping others, those around us, to heal? And this also is a pretty good place to talk about, like, what YWAM is working with God to bring the kingdom, and also the part that I feel that God has called me to be a part of. And the church and several of you in the church are praying with me and supporting me and partnering with me. So this is really part of what God has called you guys to, too, and how he's used you to bring kingdom to earth. And yeah, I really like to think of it. It's like it's the little paint splatters that we've noticed that we feel a special calling to make right, to bring healing and making the earth a little bit more like heaven. So some of the paint splatters that are on my heart. When COVID happened, as we all know, everything was different, right? So many of our operations changed. We were doing so many things internationally. We were bringing international students in. We were sending the ship from Australia to Papua New Guinea, and Australia closed its borders, and so much had to change with how we did things. And so it really forced us to reevaluate how are we bringing kingdom right in the city that we were in the city of Townsville. And those of you who know Powerpuff Girls, it's not the city of Townsville and the Powerpuff Girls. But in Townsville, there are many young women, especially like Aboriginal women, who are homeless or without a safe living place. You can walk around the streets, and a lot of times you'll see people on the streets. And these women are often taken advantage of. They're victims of domestic violence, of sexual assault, and things like this. And it really, like, it's pretty heartbreaking. And so what we decided to do in response to this is we've begun having some young women come live at our dormitory facilities. These are women who are were in a homeless shelter and are transitioning. It's called transitional housing into a permanent residence. So they're staying with us for a little bit longer than they would be able to stay in a homeless shelter, so, you know, a couple months, things like that, so that they can get a job, get back on their feet, and be able to be independent in the city without having to rely on living with a boyfriend or something like that where they could be in a dangerous situation. And it's been really cool to see these women, like, not only working towards getting jobs and finding places of their own, but also seeing them, like, yeah, break off from these, like, really awful relationships and, like, get involved in our worship times and our Bible studies and, like, really become a part of the community of our church family. And so that's really awesome. So that's one of the things that is how we've been trying to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. So that's called the YWAM House. There's also like a huge rate of disengaged youth in our city, which results in a lot of youth crime, if I'm honest. It's something that's like really all too common in our city is like almost every day you hear stories of like youth stealing cars. It's just their way of getting a thrill. And they're disengaged youth. They've dropped out of school. And some of these kids who are doing this are as young as 12 years old, which is very young. And so in response to this, we're working towards opening a youth facility. And this will be, there'll be a high ropes course and rock climbing walls and basketball areas and pickleball courts. If you've ever played pickleball, it's so much fun. And a little cafe. And it's a place for schools, for like kids to come and engage in a healthy environment, but also for schools to bring groups and for caseworkers to bring some of the youth on their caseload into the city and to engage in adventure-based learning and like biblical principle learning, but hands-on on the high ropes course and things like that. So what it means to like dive into the Lord, like maybe they jump off of have you ever seen a high ropes course? They like have this leap of faith thing where it's like this huge tower and you are bungee strapped in and you literally have to dive off of it. And it's not going to be my cup of tea, I'm going to be honest. I hate heights and I hate falling even more. but yeah, like what will that teach them about faith, you know, about trusting God and diving in? And having that experience to show for it. We've also been working with local high schools and with like some of the students who struggle with a traditional model of school. So they come to us every Wednesday during their like junior and senior year of high school. And all day Wednesday, they will participate in some of our like technical college courses that we do, but it's all with a biblical foundation, right? Like These are kids who are at risk of dropping out of school. They probably wouldn't continue on to grade 12, except for they're really wanting to be a part of these courses. That's what we found. So they come to us every Wednesday, and they get hands-on learning in construction and radio and business and hospitality. And so, yeah, it's pretty cool. And they, at the end, they receive a technical college certificate, and they have a pathway to employment and being a contributing member of society. So this has been one of my main focuses since COVID, has been I've trained the trainers for these courses, and I also run the first hour of their class, which is all of the classes together, and we do little activity-based, like, Bible study lessons on biblical principles and values, and also on, like, soft skill development. So how do you show up on time? How do you manage your time well in a workplace? These things that, how do you manage your finances? These little soft skill things that really help them to be set out well. So that's something that's on my heart. We also have the medical ship and a dental trailer. That's the medical ship is currently operating in Papua New Guinea, and we also have like land-based teams who are going out, and then the dental trailer is on its way there. It should be arriving in Papua New Guinea any day now. But some of the things that I don't think reflect the kingdom of God very well is in Papua New Guinea, 5 women die in childbirth every day. Like, that's a lot of women dying in childbirth. Someone dies from tuberculosis every 2 hours in PNG. 1 in 13 children die before the age, die before the age of 5. That's way too many. And there are hundreds of thousands of people who don't have any vision or no vision or low vision that could easily be fixed by a cataract surgery or by prescription glasses. It could easily be fixed, and they've gone sometimes 15 years or more of being blind and not seeing their children or, you know, these things, and not being able to be independent and going out to the gardens and things like that because they can't see. And that just breaks my heart. But yeah, and that's one of my favorite parts of, I was able to, in 2019, I was able to spend like 3 months just living and working on the ship. And that was one of my favorite parts in the world, was like taking off people's patches off of their eyes. And after they had had a surgery, and them being able to see their kids for the first time in 15 years. Or, being like, there were like these 3 old women that came on the ship, and they were all sisters, and they were lively and funny. And they hadn't been able to see in quite a few years, and they took the patches off their eyes, and they said, "Oh, you look old," to one another, which I just thought was really funny. But I genuinely imagine that that was Jesus' favorite part of, like, healing people's eyesight, is seeing their reaction. Like, the Bible doesn't talk about it too much, but, like, I think it would probably be pretty awesome. him to, like, wipe mud on someone's eyes and be able to see again. Like, I imagine that that was, it would be pretty responsive, going pretty crazy. We also have the opportunity to upskill, like, healthcare workers, local healthcare workers, as they often have received little training and are running a clinic in a rural area that's several days travel away from a doctor. They have little training, so we will go and catch up with them, and, you know, we might notice that actually there's leprosy coming to your community. Like, there's been a couple cases. This is how you diagnose leprosy. This is how you treat leprosy and get them the help that they need. We might notice that a village has so many kids in the school have worms, and they have the bloated bellies from worms. And so then we teach the local healthcare workers, okay, this is how you treat worms. Like, you just give them these deworming tablets, keep an eye on them, keep them hydrated, like, things like that. So we do upskilling, on how do you deliver babies safely? How do you make sure that it's a clean environment? And we have, like, packs of clean delivery, like their sanitary things, so that they can lay out our tarps. They're not just giving birth on the mud. Things like that. We are Yeah, so we're running schools to, and then we're also in Port Moresby, we've started to run schools to train and send out people to be these aid workers in these rural villages. So teaching them rural and remote first aid. How do you stabilize someone? How do you deliver a baby? How do you deworm children? How do you handle infection? Several other critical services that are needed in rural areas. And then there's only one dentist for every 100,000 people in Papua New Guinea. That means that like in every province, there's like 1 to 2 dentists. And that's like a huge growth, to be honest, in how many dentists there are in Papua New Guinea. And so one of the things that we're also doing is we've in the process of bringing up the dental trailer, which is a semi-trailer, it's on the top there, semi-trailer that's decked out as a dental clinic. And we've trained a few and are hoping to train more dental assistants, which increase the capacity of the dentists to see as many people as they can in a day. To make them be able to see more and more and hopefully give them a pathway to becoming a dentist as well. So currently the only dental assistants in the country are the ones that YWAM has trained, which is kind of crazy to think about. So we're hoping to deliver more and more of that. We also have continued to run discipleship training schools, which is that school that I talked about that changed my life and Rachel did, and Faith is doing right now and Wyatt's done, which is really cool in different places. But and although we have had COVID and we haven't been able to have international students come in and we haven't been able to send teams like DTS teams to Papua New Guinea, we have been able to run them with Australian students in Townsville and send them out to outback communities. I got to take a team to outback communities with the DTS, and it was really very cool. Like different Aboriginal communities and things like that. And we also are starting a YWAM base in Port Moresby called the Jetty. And they have run a DTS, and they've just started their second DTS like this week, which is very cool. And so they're able to deliver a DTS to international students as well as lots and lots and lots of Papua New Guineans, which is really cool. I really find it disheartening the number of youth that desert their faith as they become young adults all across the world, to be honest. Like, that really is something that bums me out. And it's been really cool to be able to see like these young adults' faith become so incredibly real to them and for them to be able to love and serve throughout Australia and Papua New Guinea, for them to grow their faith in that way. There are another thing, I'm sorry, I'm just listing things. I hope that's okay. There's lots of things, and if I were to smoothly transition these, you would be here forever. So I'm just gonna move on to the next one. So another thing about Papua New Guinea that is so beautiful is it's so diverse. Like, the government claims there are 800 languages. Other people would say that there's probably 1,000 or more different languages in Papua New Guinea. And so many of them, like, again, we don't have an accurate count, but at least hundreds of them have no Bible in their language, right? Like, can you imagine not being able to read a Bible in the language that you understand the most? There's a big push from a lot of different organizations to translate these Bibles. I was able to be a part of a DTS team a few years back that we were able to sit in a seminar. It was run by Wycliffe, if you guys know them, but where 11 different language groups came who had no Bible, and by the end of the week's seminar, they had the Book of Mark in their language, and they were trained in how to continue translating their Bible, which is so cool that we're able to support these organizations doing this with these shorter-term teams. Which is, very cool. But the part of the puzzle that YWAM feels the most called to, like, contributing towards is, what's that next step? How do you teach someone how to read the Bible and how to understand it and apply it to their lives and dream with God about making heaven come to earth? Like, how do you do that? Something that we've started a discipleship Bible school in Papua New Guinea, which is exactly that, teaching someone how to read the Bible. and how to apply it to their lives, and how to transform their community with, yeah, the biblical principles. And they're also starting another one of those later on in the year as well, a second one of them, so that's really cool. And when I go back, which date to be determined, but it should be early February. When I go back, I will actually not be going back to Australia right away. I'm going to be moving to Papua New Guinea. I'm not sure how long it'll be for, but I'm really, really, really excited about it. If you can't tell, I really like both Australia and Papua New Guinea. So I'm going to be helping to establish a vocational school or a technical college, in Papua New Guinea. And in this place where we're already delivering the Discipleship Bible School and the Discipleship Training Schools, we're going to be adding more courses to that, which I'm very excited about. And this need for this in Papua New Guinea, it became really, really personal to me because of this one specific man that I got to be friends with. And he represents thousands of stories that are very similar to this. When I was on my DTS, there's this young man who was living in the village that we were staying at, and he was honestly, he stood out. He so stood out among the crowd. He was one of those kids that he was a worship leader, and he was a leader among his peers. He was friendly to everyone. He had big aspirations for life, and when we met him, he was in high school. Still in finishing up high school. And he wanted to become an accountant and to help his people to start businesses. Many of the small mini are owned by Chinese internationals, and there's very few, really pretty few businesses that are owned by Papua New Guineans. But it's needed because that's how you stimulate the economy and create job opportunities and make there to be more people like becoming doctors and like things like that. Like you need to stimulate the economy. And my friend had a dream when we met him that when he was going to finish off high school, he was planning to go to school to be an accountant. However, there are very few colleges in Papua New Guinea, and they really only take the like high achievers. And a lot of times it's only those in the cities. A lot of that's because there aren't very many beyond grade 6 in the villages, but he was able to go to high school, but he still wasn't able to get into college, and which is this thing that he felt he was called to do. So what he did, because he felt this calling to be a business owner and to help others start businesses, but he had literally never seen anyone start a business before. He didn't know the first thing about how to start a business, right? So he moved to the city with the hopes of getting a job, and he didn't get a job. And the only way that he could find to make money in the city was by street fighting, which is incredibly dangerous and very illegal and, not a good life to be living. He got totally wrapped up in the wrong crowd. And when I was there last time, I was able to meet up with him and hear his story and hear and talk about like how he explored all options, but there wasn't an option for him, and he didn't know how to, and he tried to find a job, and there weren't enough jobs for him, and that he felt like that was his only option. And so that's why I'm so passionate about opening like a technical school that's a Christian technical school that's really bringing kingdom, where we can run 6 to 12 months of short certificate courses in dental assisting and hospitality and business and construction that are registered with the school systems and recognized, so that we can give many more people pathways to being change makers in their communities. So that's something that I'm really passionate about. And if you would like to hear more, I will be staying for potluck. And would love to answer your questions, and I really appreciate your prayers. I really appreciate those of you who are supporting me. Like, I really hope you feel like this is part of your bringing kingdom to earth. I really, because it really is. It would not be possible. So I thank you guys very much.